Jerry Bader Show. Just 10 days to the return of the Americans on FX. Just 8 days to the debut of all 12 episodes at once of season two of House of Cards. It's just, if you haven't gotten into it and you have Netflix, you can rent it now too. I strongly suggest you get caught up on last season. It's political behind-the-scenes melodrama in Washington. The greatest part of it is when Kevin Spacey's character, was it Frank Underwood? Is that his name? That he talks to what's called the fourth wall. It's just really good. And The Americans is just exceptional. I didn't spend a lot of time on this yesterday. The Congressional Budget Office, which liberals call the gold standard, okay, that their report estimating Obamacare will cause the economy to lose the equivalent of 2.5 million workers. The Democratic response has been to embrace this as good news. It is, I know, I there's words I overuse or use to, like, mind-boggling, staggering, stunning. Well, what word do you use when those words aren't strong enough? I don't know. I'll have to grow the English vocabulary on my own. I want to read a little bit of a couple of different pieces on this. Today's Wall Street Journal. Obamacare's new theory of employment. The CBO's report estimating that Obamacare will cause the economy to lose the equivalent of 2.5 million workers is remarkable on its own. But the reaction from the left, giddy celebration, is another order of magnitude. U.S. politics used to have enough of a center that politicians could agree that fewer Americans working and others working less as a result of qualifying for a new taxpayer-funded benefit wasn't desirable. But liberals are now actively glorifying another political incentive not to contribute to U.S. economic life. The CBO essentially says that because Obamacare's means-tested subsidies phase out as cash income rises, okay, because the more you make, the less subsidy you get, some people will choose to stay poorer to keep earning benefits. Some of the giddier liberals even extol Obamacare for liberating workers from the adult responsibility of earning a living. Supposedly, this shrinking labor force development is great news because this is a choice on the part of workers. As White House Chief Economist Jason Furman put it, if businesses shed jobs in response to Obamacare, he said, that would be a bad thing because people who want to work would have a harder time finding it. But CBO's lost workers are splendid, Mr. Furman argued, because it means they'll simply be making a rational decision to drop out or cut back, and that in their case might be a better choice and a better option than what they had before. Oh, my God. Pardon me, but I do feel this is... Liberals cite the 60-year-old who can retire early before qualifying for Medicare, or the second-income spouse who quits to spend time with her kids. It's worth parsing this supply of labor reasoning. In the post-recession economy, the unemployment rate has fallen in major part because fewer people are actively seeking work. The labor force participation rate's the lowest since 1978. For years, liberals have lamented the jobs crisis and underemployment to castigate Republicans as mean-spirited for opposing more stimulus and more weeks of unemployment benefits. But if pervasive joblessness is an economic and social scourge, why celebrate a program that is creating more of it? Apart from harming individuals, Obamacare is also wasting human potential because fewer workers means a less prosperous, less dynamic economy. Contrary to liberal patronizing, many near seniors, moms, and the rest like their jobs and continue to productivity. The 2.5 million worker Obamacare job exodus, CBO estimates, translates into a 1.5 to 2% reduction in the total number of hours worked, which means less growth. Liberals are also trying to spin the CBO report as an endorsement of Obamacare's alleged health security. Mr. Furman cited the phenomenon known as job lock in which people don't switch employers or start their own business to preserve fringe benefits. But job lock is really about employment flexibility rather than the government extending subsidies so people don't need or want jobs. Whether Obamacare is leading to fewer jobs or fewer workers, we'd argue both, most normal, non-political people probably see either one as negative. We know liberals don't care about tax rates on the rich, but you would think they would care about marginal rates so high on the poor that it makes no sense to climb the income ladder. The liberal applause for this liberation shows how radical Obamacare really is. This is what they're applauding. They're applauding the fact that people no longer want to climb the financial ladder, that staying poorer makes sense to them. The idiocy meter on this was pinned, as it often is, by Congressman Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, Madison. On Wednesday, Pocan argued that the CBO's projection that the Obamacare will incentivize about 2.5 million Americans to give up full-time work means they might be able to tuck their child in bed at night. Pocan said, "But I would argue part of what you're saying is that people in aging populations, more people aren't participating. That's part of the statistics. People like my mom, who worked until she was 70 at a Taco Bell, don't have to do that. But secondly, it could be someone on the lower end who now is working two part-time jobs instead of three part-time jobs. And that means is instead they might be able to tuck their child in bed at night and read a bedtime story or go on to an activity, which means they're better off." Washington Examiner columnist Byron York called Pocan's line birth of a talking point. And I think that he is absolutely right about this. The birth of a talking point. Pocan suggests lower labor participation might allow parents to tuck their child in at night. Yes, it's liberating millions of Americans from full-time work. Liberating Americans from full-time work. What it does is it grows the inequality gap, as a friend just emailed me. You want to talk about Orwellian. Not even Orwell could have predicted this type of thing. Finally, boy, this is finally, and I still have, how many am I going to have for the video? We have a big one for the video. We have a big topic for the video. And that is Chris Christie's pain is whose gain? Some say it's Scott Walker's. I'm not so sure. This is going to be one of our meatier after show videos. So you're definitely going to want to check it out on the Bader blog at jerrybadershow.com. Early afternoonish, Jason? Yeah, noonish. All right, that's fine. So then I leave you with this. I said 1964 is when you look at the 60s, especially from the JFK assassination on, when you look at the 60s, it is just chock full of 50th anniversaries because the 60s were such a turbulent time. I just am amazed at how many 1964 has. I just never thought of it that way before. I mean, you've got civil rights, you've got Gulf of Tonkin, you've got the Beatles on Sullivan, you've got the Surgeon General warning, and you also have G.I. Joe turning 50. I had a G.I. Joe, got it for Christmas when I was 7. That would have been Christmas 68. So G.I. Joe was 4 years old, and that was right about the time it became unpopular because of the Vietnam War. It reminds you of a day when we didn't have a problem with celebrating the military. Generation of baby boomers that grew up asking each other, "What did your dad do in the war?" Vietnam changed all of that. Will there ever be a day when we are proud of and celebrate our military as we once did? 10:58, just 8 minutes to rush. Have a lovely one, won't you?
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybadershow.com.